This morning, I'd like to talk. It would be, I think, on the subject of honoring thy father and mother. More broadly, what I'm wanting to talk about is dealing with aging parents, aging church members, and also aging family members. So we're kind of trying to talk about the people that are most important in our lives. With regard to this opening reading that's not on the recording was Psalm 71. We read the entire chapter. A very significant part of all of our lives is watching people we love and look up to become elderly and start to go through the inevitable process of aging. This is never easy. Not for us or for those who are aging. In the best case scenarios, all the older people in our lives are going to go downhill eventually. It's just a fact, an ugly one maybe, but it's a fact. This has been something that's been on my mind for some time now as my family is dealing with an aging family member that can be a very difficult person. And honestly, you know, both of my parents are the same age as him, more or less, within a few years. So, you know, although they are still healthy and, you know, Lord willing, will be that way for a long time, it applies to them and, you know, the other people that we may have in our lives and our families. So this morning I want to talk about how should we attempt to deal with aging people in our lives. Getting old is going to be hard for them. Look at Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8 with me. I think this passage is about that. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So, you know, he's saying in that first verse that when the years draw nigh, that means the years are past you, they've drawn near, you no longer have pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. I believe what that is referring to, or at least the way it sounds to me, you know, and I have one elderly family member that's been gone for several years now that I think of, that as he got old, and his wife was very much this way too, they just were very fearful all the time, always scared of what the neighbors were doing, what the government was doing, you know, just had a lot of worry. And then as far as looking out of the windows being darkened, you know, I think that probably has to do with eyesight going. These are the physical attributes of a person going downhill as they age. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. I think that has to do with the hearing beginning to go. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So you go through all this aging and going downhill, and then at the end, dust returns to the earth, and you go to meet God who gave you your life. And I don't intend for this to be depressing the whole time. So, generally, whether they are old yet or not, the Bible tells us to honor our parents. Let's look at Exodus 20 and verse 12, please. Exodus 20 and verse 12. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So that's one example of being told to honor our mother and father. And also go ahead and notice the promise that's given if you do that, that your days are long. Let's look at Deuteronomy 5:16. Deuteronomy 5:16. "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So there again, honor your father and your mother, and if you do it, you'll have long, many days. Your days will be prolonged. Let's look at Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. We will catch it in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." And then let's look at Colossians 3:20. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." So, children obeying their parents, it's pleasing the Lord. Obviously, if children are obeying their parents, they are honoring their parents. And if you do that, you will be pleasing unto the Lord. Now, the Bible also tells us to honor old men. Let's look at Leviticus 19:32. Leviticus 19:32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord." I don't think anybody here would have any trouble knowing what a hoary head is. I think we're all familiar with that term, but according to the Webster's 1828, it is white or gray with age, as hoary hairs a hoary head. So, gray, white hair is a hoary head. Let's look at Proverbs 16:31. Proverbs 16:31. "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." So, you're getting old and gray, and if you're living in the way of righteousness, then that white hair is a crown of glory. And let's jump over to James 1:27. James 1:27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from this world." So, visiting the fatherless and the widows. Typically, widows are going to be an older woman. Sure, there are younger women that are widows, but generally, widows are older women. So, that's just supporting those older people in our lives. So, on some of the verses we've looked at, it is interesting to me that in Exodus and Deuteronomy, the commandment to Honor thy father and thy mother comes with a promise that you will have the blessing of a long life. It's also interesting that that promise is mentioned in Ephesians when that commandment is talked about. It seems like God has put emphasis on this. Colossians 3:20 is laying the groundwork for children on how they can honor their parents by obeying their parents. Now, I honestly spent most of my life considering that honoring your father and mother was more of a children's young person type commandment, you know, to basically be doing what they're told. But that's not, although that does apply, that's not all of it. You know, children certainly should respect and honor their parents and older people. But it doesn't just stop there. Let's look at 2 Kings 2:23 through 24. And this is just one example of children not honoring an old person. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked at them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. So, these children were mean to Elisha and his age, and the Lord dealt very sternly with them. So, you know, we're told children need to honor their parents. We have a very graphic example of children not honoring an old person. So it definitely applies. But there's no expiration date on the commandment that says not to worry about honoring your parents later. It's a lifelong thing. There's no point when it stops. So, how do we honor our aging parents and other elderly in our lives that we are close to? And the answer to this question would have several answers, and some of it comes down to the person and the individual situation. And I am going to attempt to have kind of a broad overview of that this morning. Much of the information that I have that is not from the Bible is from a book that was given to me by Pastor Wagner, and I've got it right here if anybody wants to look at it after the services. It's called Aging Parents, and it's by Richard P. Johnson, and it is a good book. I would definitely recommend this book to anyone dealing with aging loved ones, especially if some or all of their care is in your hands. I also think that this book is a very good read for the aging person. It was written to be for children of the elderly that are caretaking for them, but I just believe if the older person were to read this, maybe it would help them to age more gracefully if they can see it from this perspective. And of course, that is if that person still has the capacity to do so. That's not always the case due to Alzheimer's, dementia, you know, how old they are, that type of thing. But if a person is getting to the later years in life, I really would recommend reading that book. If you're a caregiver, I really believe this book could help you avoid mistakes and maybe be a little more sensitive to the aging individuals in your life. As they age, life will be hard enough without their young helpers making it harder or hurtful. So, in many ways, when you begin to care for an elderly person, it causes a situation of two worlds clashing, as the book calls it, that I read. And the main aspects of our lives can be broken down into four different categories, and the book goes through how the two worlds of the child versus the elderly parent or elderly person, how they clash with each other in these four different categories of life. And the four categories of life that are in that book is your work life, your family life, your leisure life, and your faith life. So I did not put them in an order of importance. That's just the order they were in. So the first category of life it talks about is work life. With work life, middle-aged caregivers are probably working a full-time job that takes a considerable amount of time and energy. A lot of times people that are in the middle of their careers, this is still very important to them and maybe something they focus on greatly. When they start having to care for an elderly loved one, it can strain how time and energy is spent. And one thing I didn't put in the notes, but I have seen this with people, is this kind of thing can come on so suddenly. One day everything is normal. The next day you get one phone call and life has changed completely. And then on the other hand, you know, you've got your child or your middle-aged person, caregiver, living a rather busy life with work and all of that. And then for the elderly person, they're probably no longer working or only doing so in a limited capacity. When they become unable to do as much, this can cause a feeling of loss for a lot of reasons. Loss of income, maybe they feel a little loss of purpose, and they don't have that feeling of being needed by people as much. Not very many people maybe are relying on them anymore. Hopefully their kids are not relying on them anymore. That seems to be a problem nowadays. So as caregivers, we need to try to be sensitive to their side of this rather than only being disgruntled with the extra responsibility. And it was noted specifically in that book by Richard P. Johnson that oftentimes retirement causes men who've worked their whole lives to have far too much time to be healthy. And there's several pages on each one of these sections of life in that book. I'm trying to paraphrase it down a little bit. Family life. Middle-aged caregivers most likely still have kids at home, or perhaps they have just recently moved out. And a comparison I would say with that would be like comparing my family structure with me and Christine and Braden compared to my oldest sister, Carrie. Okay, she's enough older than me that, you know, within the next few years, their nest may be empty and, you know, we would still have Braden at home. So, you could have husbands and wives that are, you know, like if all their kids have left, they might be trying to invest more time in each other and learn how to be just a married couple again that's not toting children around. Or you could have me and Christina and raising children, maybe leaving them tired, you know, at the end of the day when everything's done and you know, you're trying not to have anything else to do, maybe emotionally depleted, depending on what all's going on in life. And so a lot of times these marriages, or these families are preferring to be with each other as much as possible. But meanwhile, the elderly in their lives might be feeling quite lonesome, especially if one of them's already gone. If you've got a widow or a widower that has been married their whole life, that is going to leave a very large void for that person. Christina's dad's wife passed while we were in Iraq, and we weren't there firsthand to see it, but we know that was an extremely difficult time for him after his wife passed, especially with it being unexpected. So as caregivers, we need to give the time to care for our elderly family, but also if the elderly are aware that caregivers are trying to spend time together, perhaps let them if possible. If you have needs that don't require them to be there right this second, give them some space, you know. And there's going to be a different balance on that, I think, depending on the family and how close the caregivers and the elderly are in each situation. It's just a balance you're going to have to find. But there's a line between justifiable need of help or just being needy to control those around you. And this was not in the book, but this was a huge piece of advice that was given to me when Cade was sick and in the hospital after he had been born with so many problems. We knew he would be staying long-term in the hospital, and a coworker of mine back when I worked at Westfall had been through a very similar situation where he had a baby that was in the hospital for months and months. And he told me, he said, you have to set up a routine because you can't just go there every day, you know, but you also, of course, can't just never go there. And he said, you've got to set up a routine. And if possible, when you're caring for an elderly one, that would be my number one advice, because that was what got me through that, which I think was a similar situation as far as how demanding it was on time and energy. So you set up a routine of this is when I go, and this is about how long I go, maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and once on the weekend, or whatever the case may be, depending on how serious the needs of that elderly individual are. Leisure. For the middle-aged, sometimes leisure takes a new face in their lives. Usually by now, people are more accepting of themselves and their spouses. So this new freedom often opens up their options and heightens their desire for the re-energizing power of some leisure time activities. For some elderly, it's quite easy to fill their extra time with leisure activities, but for some, it is difficult to want to just play more to pass the time. According to the book that I read, statistically, this affects elderly men more than women, and I'm going to guess that has a lot to do with probably they've spent their whole lives working and having constructive use of their time, and so to go from that to just, you know, going and exercising and going and playing bingo and doing a bunch of exercise is not meaningless, but doing a lot of meaningless things is probably not very fulfilling to someone who has spent the vast majority of their life passing their time in ways that are very constructive. And then lastly, but most importantly, is faith life. Oftentimes, middle-aged people go through some challenges in their faith life during the middle of their life. At this age, they begin to view their mortality differently. They look at how much life has passed and how much is hopefully left. They are very much in the middle. Comparatively, the elderly are looking at how much time they might have left, and that number is growing smaller every day. Sometimes for the elderly, this can cause them to become much closer to God, as they realize it's very likely they will be meeting Him sooner rather than later. Even if you're 70 and live to be in your 80s, you are still in the final stretch, and how close you are to the finish is hard to say. But I'm not picking on my parents here, but it's just the truth that if you're in your 70s, the time is drawing short. So I've made some comparisons, but the main idea is that the middle-aged are still trying to, a lot of times in many ways, live their lives with marriage, young families, work, other busyness of life. Meanwhile, the aged are reviewing their lives that are behind them. There's a lot of time spent looking back. Many times this review is happening during a time of failing health, failing resources, and an ever-shrinking circle of friends and family to connect with. So spare time can be something that the aged have too much of and can lead to lots of time spent dwelling on regrets from the past. So that being said, check on them when you can. And this goes for more than just your parents. I know for a fact that when an elderly person or couple are having a long, depressing afternoon, it can change the entire day for them if you just come by and visit with them for a while. You don't have to do anything. Just give them your time and your ears, and they will love you for it and appreciate it. We've had at our old house a neighbor that applied to, that Braden would go down and see him a lot. And we have neighbors at the house where we live now that are not family, but they're an elderly couple that are mainly just home alone by themselves all the time. They're still in decent health. They're okay there by themselves. But the days get long for them. And when we come by to see them unannounced and knock on the door, they are always very, very happy to see us, and especially Braden, probably more so than me and Christina. But it really, really makes their day. And I think that especially applies in the wintertime for a lot of people, a lot of the elderly people. It's harder to get outside. We're coming out of winter right now, and I think there's a lot of days where if we can get by and see those people, they deeply appreciate it, and they won't forget about it. Okay, back to the Bible. Turn with me to Proverbs 23:22, please. Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So once again, there's no expiration date on hearkening to your father. I also find it interesting that Solomon says not to despise your mother when she is old. This would suggest that there is a part of our fallen nature that at least wants to despise our mothers in their age, but I believe that extends to both parents. And that is talked about in the book Aging Parents. Oftentimes, people who despise their parents openly or secretly do so because of something that happened between them in childhood. Sometimes parents, especially fathers, are too hard on sons, or mothers are too hard on daughters. This is oftentimes with good intentions, but can drive a wedge in a relationship that can last a lifetime. Unfortunately, some parents are bad parents, period. Should you choose to read the book, it discusses getting past these obstacles in healthy ways, and then perhaps you can spend the last few years of their lives building a better relationship. And also, sometimes despising an aging parent can be because they simply become harder to deal with as they start to lose some of the functions that we read about earlier, such as hearing, physical strength, memory, sight, you know. And then when those losses can multiply over the years, it can be very frustrating and a real test on patience. You know, the hearing goes and you get tired of repeating yourself. The physical strength goes and they need more help with things around the house. Memory, you get tired of repeating yourself. Things get forgotten. Or sight, you know, you might have to help them get out and about and do more things because they can't see as well. So we have to remember to honor those people in the end of their lives and as the times are harder, and to just be patient with them. Let's look at Exodus 21:17, please. Exodus 21:17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law, if you cursed your mother or your father, there was a death penalty for that. So really be careful about despising your mother and father or being mad at them too much, because if you curse them, you know, God has a very strong viewpoint on that. Let's look at Psalm 71:9, please. Psalm 71:9. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. So we read this whole chapter for our opening prayer, but, you know, that is this aged man's concern that he's talking to God about, you know, just saying, please don't cast me off in the time of my old age, forsake me not. This man clearly knows that he needs help. He's asking the Lord to help him in his old age. It is likely the Lord could use the old man's children, if he has any, or some other younger people to help this old man. Abandonment is a real thing, and it really does happen to some elderly people. It's a very sad thing. I would like to think we as a congregation would never let that happen to one of our own. And on that subject, we all did good for Bev in her last years and right up to and even after her passing. We took great care of her. I believe our help and care for her was pleasing to her, and I hope we pleased God with how we helped our sister also. I believe that we probably did. I think we did as much as we possibly could to be realistic with her, be honest with her, give her the help she needed, and to try to comfort her and take care of her final affairs with her. I think we checked all the blocks with that. I hope we did. So, look with me, please, at 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 3. This is talking about pastoral duties, and it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. So if the pastor is supposed to be treating elders and widows this way, then it would certainly extend to church members as well. Look with me, please, at Proverbs 19:26. Proverbs 19:26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. This verse kind of hits me hard because of the definition of waste. So, words that you would use to describe wasting your father might be to ruin, destroy, diminish, desolate, lose, spend, consume, squander, and several more. There is no honor or care for that person in any of that. Chasing away your mother, I believe, is not a physically violent act of literally chasing her away, but simply you run her off by being wasteful, disobedient, or otherwise dishonoring to her until she can't bear to look at you. So I wanted to put that one in here. It could apply to when your parents are not elderly yet, but I would hate to think of them viewing a child that way in their final years of life. Let's see. 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2, and you don't have to turn there, you can if you wish to, are a beautiful example of an elderly man, which was King David, being responsible in his old age and setting things up for his passing. But you also see those that serve him still being respectful to him on his deathbed. Bathsheba had to humbly go before him to ensure that Solomon would be king rather than Adonijah. If you read in there, Adonijah was kind of setting himself up for kingship, you know, when David was still on his deathbed. Adonijah was getting the cart ahead of the horse. But Bathsheba went before David with a humble attitude, not an angry one. And then in chapter 2, David gives a lot of directives on how to treat certain individuals and directions to Solomon on his new role as king. If you read through there, he's telling him who to take care of, who to basically watch out for, and just giving him all this advice before he takes over as king. So David appears to have organized his life appropriately in his last days. As the younger of the elderly in our lives, we should try to gently ensure this has been done. This should not be an act of greed, but rather an act of helping to make sure the things happen that they would like to have happen. The Bible has some things to say about greedily getting an inheritance. Let's look at Proverbs 20:21. It's kind of a fact. If you're talking about elderly people, everybody always thinks about inheritance and what to do with their stuff. Proverbs 20 and verse 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. So, you know, I can think of someone in my life that I have seen burn through an inheritance a couple of times. And it is sad, but it does happen. Let's look at, or I'm not going to go there, but 1 Kings chapter 11 describes Solomon's passing. And, you know, it was much different than his father David. You know, we just talked a minute ago about how David, you know, lined things up for Solomon. Well, by the time Solomon passed, he had gone after strange women and strange gods. God had told Solomon that he would rend away the nation from Solomon's son. And the Lord did not take it directly from Solomon for David's sake. Is it possible that any of Solomon's children tried to wrangle their father in? Maybe. I don't know. I don't think Rehoboam did. It didn't seem like he was making too many good decisions after he took over. But I would think that as many children as Solomon probably had, there might have been some that were maybe devastated to see him go the direction he did. So I think most likely, yes. But his passing was very different than his father David's. I think probably one of the best examples of someone staying with an elderly person is Naomi and Ruth. Naomi, at the beginning of the book of Ruth, had outlived her husband and both sons. She also says that she is past her childbearing years in Ruth 1:11. So this set the stage for Orpha, one daughter-in-law, to leave and for Ruth to stay with her. Then Naomi and Ruth go to Bethlehem, where Ruth ends up marrying Boaz, but she never leaves Naomi behind. That was her husband's mother, and she took care of her. So, in conclusion, just please be aware of the elderly folks in your life, and especially those that are your parents or relatives or church members. And I'd like to close with an uplifting passage for those that are getting older that may need to hear this, since they probably feel like I just bashed on them for the last 40 minutes. Psalm 92, 1 through 15. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high for evermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn thou shalt exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. they shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So I just want to zone in on verse 14, that if you live a righteous life and you're pleasing to God, even in old age, you can still bring forth fruit and be fat and flourishing. So hopefully that's the goal we can have for the elderly in our lives and help them achieve it. And also just try to remember to be patient with them and respectful of them, and to try to take as good a care of them as we possibly can. Thank you.